gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, you are correct. That is a picture of Hal laying naked in a field. All right.
What?
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
Steffi.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why?
Yes. Could it be?
Oh, God.
Oh, is it that meadow picture
what
of Hal?
Hal Sparks?
Oh, yes.
Oh, God. That must have been itchy on your nether regions.
Actually, I had them put down a, we had a blanket on the ground, but we actually had to, because it was Canada, if we were talking about the same picture. There's so many pictures of me laying naked in fields going around, but I'm assuming you mean the picture from Queer as Folk that's circulating around on the faux gay, anti-gay website.
Oh,
they had, he was having sex, my character was having sex with his boyfriend on a towel in the middle of a
field. Oh, in a field.
Yes.
Sure.
And it was Canada, so
yes.
It was freezing. So they spray us with water to make it look like we were perspiring from the throes of ecstasy. And we're really just freezing. It was just massive shrinkage all around. The least romantic moment.
Yeah.
You were just going to say that? What a shock.
Yes,
and then,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, I suggested perhaps we run an electric blanket underneath that so that the actor that I was working with at the time and myself would not die horrible Canadian death.
Did they take your suggestion?
Yes, they did.
Oh.
How does electric blanket and spraying water go, though? that could have ended in tragedy.
Yeah. We had to kind of compartmentalize those two acts. I also suggest
you know, getting
oil.
Electrocuted naked in a field is not a really
no,
not really
not
the
very
way.
Romantic.
No,
quite frankly.
All right, kids.
But thanks for bringing it up.
Minneapolis, trying time to get your sexy on. Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, and I. Saturday, we're coming. Here we go.
As the battle for the survival of America's middle class enters the next stage, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show World Tour is bringing their fight to the heart of Al Franken territory, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm in town here. I had to do a few things in the Twin Cities.
On June 18th at the State Theater, see the unholy comedy trinity of John Fugelsang, the ecclesiastical moot, the rocker son, Hal Sparks, and the spirit of progressive talk radio,
you sexy
Stephanie Miller. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000.
Like it, I like it.
Come be a part of the laughs and pure progressive inspiration. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show, the State Theater, Minneapolis, Minnesota, June 18th.
You sexy
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, all right.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Be there.
Thank you very much.
Hi.
Oh, by the way,
yes.
If you go to Ticketmaster, Sexy Dad is the code, and you can get a discount for Father's Day tickets
so
for this
neat.
Show and next Saturday, June 25th, in Chicago. Ladies and gentlemen.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we're very excited.
For you and John Fugelsang and I, we'll also be doing the Pride Parade
on Sunday. Yep.
By
in Chicago.
WCBT, our local affiliate. Wonderful, wonderful people that they
Indeed.
Are. At the Center on Halsted.
Yes. Well, some of the proceeds we're giving to the
Center
on Halsted.
Single greatest community center in the United States, LGBT
yep.
or not.
By the way, terrific news in LGBT news, by the way. Gay judges, California same-sex marriage ruling upheld. Woohoo!
Well, you know, he didn't have to recuse himself
for being
having
gay?
For
yes,
having a
no.
sexuality? For having a sexual preference?
No, he did not have to.
How come those...
Go figure.
But
we're
going
to try to get Ted Boutros.
Boutros?
Golly.
Oh, God.
Our good friend, one of the Ted Olson's law partner. So this was big news. I heard about this from my friend Chad Griffin just as the news broke, who's involved is a bigwig in the Prop 8.
Yeah, you can't say it's his partner. It's his law partner.
I said law partner.
Okay.
We always very careful to point that
yes.
out. Partner is such a loaded word these days.
Yeah, it's a difficult one to...
It's a dense around.
Covers a lot of
yeah.
ground.
Yes, it does.
No, but this is huge. This is actually big news. You're right, Hal. It shouldn't be. It was ridiculous arguing in the first place. But, you know, legally they're saying this is going to resonate for years, and thank God.
You know, the ironic part of it, you know, it's probably the easiest ruling any judge has ever had to do because essentially the other side, their entire case was built on, this will ruin society. And the judge went, how? And they went...
They
sure,
their argument was legally the equivalent of Blarg!
Right, exactly.
Yes, and that was, and the judge was like, yeah, well, just, no,
you're
going
to have
really...
to trust us on this. This is something we know a lot about.
Yeah, well,
before.
Fling. So that's, here are the fun facts as to what happened out here in California yesterday. A U.S. judge's gay relationship is no basis for tossing out his decision overturning California's same-sex marriage ban. Another federal judge ruled yesterday. Let's hear it for Judge James Ware. Thank you. Doing otherwise would send a message that minority judges cannot rule in civil rights cases, ruled U.S. District Court Judge James Ware, who upheld the decision to overturn California's gay marriage ban. In pointed language, he slapped down the attempt to throw out his gay former colleague's decision as an attack on standards of judicial impartiality, saying it ignored the idea that protecting the rights of minorities benefits all. ProtectMarriage.com, the anti-gay marriage group defending California's ban, will appeal. They have so little appeal left, right, don't they?
Yes.
Really? Homophobia has just so little appeal these days. Standards such as those advocated by the pro-ban attorneys would come dangerously close to forcing minority judges to excuse themselves from civil rights cases, wrote Ware, an African-American appointed by George H.W. Bush. That's exactly right. Everyone would have to recuse themselves from anything.
Everything.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, judges who have been divorced...
Right.
Would have to recuse themselves from every divorce case.
Right. This is a powerful ruling that makes clear that gay and lesbian judges are entitled to the same presumption of fairness and impartiality as all other federal judges, said Ted Boutros, our friend who argued
Boutros.
The case. Golly. The presumption that Judge Walker, by virtue of being in a same-sex relationship, had a desire to be married that rendered him incapable of making an impartial decision, Ware wrote, is as warrantless as the presumption that a female judge is incapable of being impartial in a case in which women seek legal relief.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thank God.
Aren't you kind of shocked, though, that argument fell apart? Because it seems like that's one of those that oddly doesn't go our way every so often, the idea that... Because it seemed very logical that a gay judge should, of course, be able to see, you know...
Right.
Court cases on both sides of that sexual preference in the same way. But somehow...
You know what it is? It's kind of like the high school fight when they're not left with any argument. Well, you're gay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yes, that's why we're in court today, sir.
Exactly.
See, this is why we tried to keep gay people out of court in the first place.
Disqualifying Judge Walker based on an inference that he intended to take advantage of a future legal benefit made available by constitutional protections would result in an unworkable standard for disqualification.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Judge Ware.
Hello. Campaign finance reform.
Ted Boutros said, our courts will look to this decision for many years to come. We're also pleased to see Chief Judge Ware address the issue of equal protection in which all members of society have a stake. So, yay for all of that. Go ahead.
Nothing. I'm just... At a certain point, now we've actually just got to go through the process, ironically, of just the merits of the case again. You know, like,
yeah,
that's the sad part. Now they're gonna appeal based on that part. And so anyway.
Yeah, I think one of them actually had the nerve yesterday say something about the will of the people. It's like, really? Let's go back to the polls now.
Yeah.
Now there's massive, you know, majority support for gay marriage. That's the whole point. You're not supposed to put minority rights to a vote.
Right, but will of the people frozen in a moment when they had control of the will of the people.
Yeah.
Based on false information. You can't, that the people are informed and don't seem to mind, we can't go to the will of the people again because it will change the perception of the will of the people. And I run my entire business on the will of the people.
So that's,
I'm trying to run a mega church here.
Thank you.
And if anybody changes their mind, I'm screwed.
Thank you for the segue. Could you take your organ out for me, Chris?
Right
thank
away,
you.
Ms. Miller.
This is it's a kind of good news, bad news day in terms of gay rights.
Sorry. You
sometimes
asked for
you're not
it, I didn't.
Sure you read the... headline, right? And yet you do, and this is from your home state, Kentucky. Oh. Gay men kicked out of public pool in Kentucky. Official cites the Bible as a reason.
Yep.
Wait, there's more. If you can think it could get meaner, oh yes it can. Two gay men with developmental and intellectual disabilities were kicked out of a swimming pool at the Pavilion, a government recreational facility in Hazard, Kentucky. The men were clients of Mending Hearts. That's not going to mend many hearts, is it?
No,
what just
not.
Happened there? Which provides support for individuals with developmental and intellectual disabilities. And the official kicked the men out. He cited the Bible as the reason. My staff, the Mending Hearts guy said, my staff asked the Pavilion staff why they were being asked to leave, and they were informed that gay people weren't allowed to swim here. I guess and play in any of our reindeer games at all.
From now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
My staff told this man what he was trying to do was discrimination. The man stated he was doing what was in the Bible and he could do it. My clients, who already feel ridiculed and different, left the city-owned facility crying and embarrassed for trying to participate in normal activities that everyday normal people do.
Wait a minute. There are many things in the Bible that people shouldn't do.
Well, apparently, I don't know if just because it mentions not swimming with the gays, but...
just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean you can do it.
Are they checking menstruation dates of every woman that's coming and going from the pool area? Because I think they're unclean for 7 days afterwards. Mm. So,
yes.
So they have to go sit in a tent
or something.
The, everyone must avoid Claire. She didn't pass the biblical test right now. She's buying a corn dog, but she's not allowed anywhere near the pool. Because according to
Leviticus, I think that's the first time Hal Sparks has ever questioned my freshness. And you know...
I would never.
I think that is
no, because you a good
point. Just to make a point, I'm
carbonite.
Happy. I'm happy to sacrifice my freshness on the altar of your point.
You're a friggin' daisy down there.
Woo!
Well,
Does that get meaner? There, I mean, it's like, seriously?
Yeah.
You're throwing, developmentally disabled people out of a swimming
pool.
It's
Kentucky. Oh. Boss Hogg, Roscoe P. Coltrane.
Duke of.
Nobody operates legally there. The entire, every official there.
That's why it's a hazard.
Right, is bought and paid for by the.
By the Duke boys. The
tobacco and chicken industry. I don't know what passes for industry. I don't. We sell Mountain Dew into so we can have something to put in baby bottles. The Lord does not want gay people in. Or some public swimming pools. Okay. Listen here, gay people.
See, he can do this because he's from there.
I'm from there. I'm allowed to say whatever I want. Listen here. I was reading right here. It says, gay people, like there were gay Pharaoh soldiers, and the Lord drowned them. So by rote of... Now, they weren't all gay. I don't have any proof that that was the case, whatever. They just didn't look good in those outfits. But that's not my point.
I get a feeling that Al Sparks has actually had this actual conversation
with
someone he grew up with in Kentucky. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, right back. More Hump Days with Al Sparks on The Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Cordell, the hell's a fellow home slice from Kentucky. Hello, Cordell.
Hey, Mama. Good morning, everybody.
Hello.
Hiya.
Hey, I've got a comment I want to make to Hal regarding some advice he gave me around Christmas time, and I also want to comment on the two gay guys from my state. Hal, back at Christmas, you gave me some advice when I called in, and I told you I was feeling real discouraged about trying to break into the business.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you saying that not to give up, that eventually I'm going to meet some honest people who will help me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, lo and behold, a couple of weeks later, I did meet that fat person, and I now have a development deal that I'm working on. So I want to thank
you.
Ain't nothing
See,
to it but
Hal
to
Sparks
do it.
Resurrected my dead eggs. There is no end to the miracles wrought by Hal Sparks.
Yes,
thank you, sir.
I agree. Now, my question is, I read about the story about the two guys last night.
The two developmentally disabled gay guys that were thrown out of a pool in Kentucky for being
gay. Because
the
Bible says...
Yes.
No gay people in public pools. If the Bible had public pools.
Yes. All right, go ahead.
My question is, how did they know they were gay? Somebody had to tip them off, because usually when you walk into a pool, nobody cares about who you sleep with.
Right. Right. I don't ask me. I mean, that's a good question. I mean, All right. How about this year, just in a related story, Frank Gaffney is special. He's a right-wing guy. They're just so, they are regressives indeed. Fear-mongering over Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yep.
The ship has sailed, okay?
Yeah.
And the Princess Cruise has sailed. Give it up.
The battleship has sailed, and it has gay people in it, and they're serving honorably and very well.
And you know what? Battleships have always had gay people on them.
Oh, yes, they have.
In a Washington Times column, he wrote that there is much evidence the military is not ready for the adverse effects that would flow from revealing
Don't
Ask, Don't Tell. Yes, and of principal concern is the intractable nature of many of the problems with accommodating not just homosexuals, but the radical lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender agenda. In an institution like the U.S. military, in which mutual trust, unit cohesion, effects of protracted forced intimacy may develop, determine esprit de corps and combat readiness, blah, blah, blah.
Look behind you. There's a bunch of white supremacists and gang members sneaking in, learning military tactics for use in the drug war against our law enforcement people and innocent women and children. I can't deal with that right now. One of my other soldiers is feels icky when he knows there's gay people in the vicinity,
yes,
and I've got to consult him.
Yes,
we're
as
doing,
I pointed out previously, like you're going to pick in the middle of a firefight that's just start acting really gay. Like, that would be the time you would pull out a glow stick instead of a rifle and just turn up your Lady Gaga.
We're going to take the gay soldiers into a room and make them hit a pillow with a tennis racket going, Mom! Why did you do this to me? We can't do this. We're being straight bombed. I'm sorry. I've got cuddle therapy at 3. It's not going to happen.
I'm getting my colors done.
It seems like we should have a problem with the people who, you know, aren't accepting of others rather than...
Well, that's actually what they just did. It was that now if there's a gay person in your unit and you have a problem with it, they move you,
right,
not that person.
Exactly. That's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, like when people come to my house and go, can you put the dogs outside? I'm like, no, but you can go outside if you want.
But you literally mean that.
If you
can't
have a problem,
put those dogs,
you know,
outside. They come and go as they want
to.
No one controls Max.
They're mastodons.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, they're not.
I laugh at people that go, oh, no, you know, pets on the furniture. I'm like, please, you better move fast if you want a spot on my furniture. Good luck.
Right. Your dogs are so well-trained.
Mm-hmm. That's true. They take you for a drag all around the park.
Speaking of crazy right-wing newspaper columns, in the Washington Examiner, a syndicated columnist, Cal Thomas, claimed that Palin, along with Bachman, get a lot of media attention because they represent everything the liberal media hate. They're attractive women who are married to the same men they started with. He went on to write, in Palin's case, she and her husband have a Down syndrome child who she refused to abort. Right there, you have to offend a pro-choice feminist who treat abortion as a sacrament.
Oh, there are so many things wrong with that
sentence. Yeah, where do you even start there? We hate them because they haven't been divorced or had abortions, which apparently...
No, that's actually why Newt Gingrich hates them.
Yeah, Michelle Obama hasn't been divorced and hasn't had an abortion, as far as we know.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
And how do we know that Sarah Palin or Michelle Bachman have never had an abortion?
Yes, that's right.
Do
also,
we know that?
No, don't.
I think Cal Thomas is making a giant assumption there.
Mm-hmm. I guess because they like the government all up in your hoo-ha there.
Well,
so
also,
I guess they have some sort of information.
Cal's one
that.
Of the people who, irregardless of how someone lives their life, it's how you sell your life that matters.
Right.
And so whatever the narrative they create is more important than the actuality, so it doesn't matter whether they have or haven't. I mean, they could find out later that they had a
And by the way,
I
keep hearing that thing. We hate them because they're attractive. And it's like that old commercial. I don't hate them because they're beautiful. I hate them because they're stupid.
Yeah, right.
No, I don't hate them. I just don't think they're qualified to be president.
Right.
Their looks have nothing to do with
and
their
I've
policies.
Said over and over,
there's
they're
a lot
very
of attra-
beautiful. They're both beautiful women.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the point. It's
there's
like,
a lot of attractive people that we wouldn't want anywhere near.
Yes. Thank you.
President Reeves.
29 minutes after the hour, we continue with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
The only time I was ever awake this early was in my 20s, and I was still up from the night before.
Although Hal is up from the night before.
Yeah.
He has Spider-Man blood.
Yeah.
34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1, the phone number's toll-free from anywhere. Hal Sparks, as you know, the Sexy Liberal Show taking complete credit for the recalls in Wisconsin, where we donated some of the money there. Mm-hmm. And then I think marriage equality is going to happen in New York. Why? Sexy Liberal Show, because we donated... the New York equality. Just saying.
Yep. So we're also going back there just in case.
Just
to amend things.
Yes. But Julie Bolser joins us now from The Advocate to update us on the very... Julie, it's a great day between California and what's going on in New York, right?
Yes, I think New York appears to have more momentum than it ever has, and in just a little bit, the Republican conference, which is the 32 members, Republican members of the Senate, will be meeting to discuss the bill that the governor presented yesterday, and they will decide whether to bring it to the floor for a vote. So there should be more developments after that in the afternoon.
So the afternoon we will know what now, if there's going to be a vote and when, or how does that work?
It is a possibility. By introducing the bill yesterday, Governor Cuomo made, I think, the most confident showing to date, because you may recall that he has said a number of times that he did not want to see a vote that was going to fail again, as it did in 2009. So the presence of a bill, a governor's program bill submitted yesterday, is a very significant step. It would suggest significant confidence on behalf of the governor and the advocates. There are now 31 votes on record. They're within one vote of what they need for passage in the Senate. So,
Governor Cuomo said he believes the votes will be there if the vote happens. He sounded pretty confident.
Yeah, the presence of that bill, which is now going to be considered for being brought to the floor this morning, it would suggest either that the votes are already there and it's just a matter of making that known publicly, or it could be a pressure of sorts because at this point, politically, the matter is on the shoulders of the Republican senators. If the bill does not come to the floor at this point for a vote, it will be because the Republican conference decided not to bring it there. So we'll know more after they meet, and there's a very strong chance we're hearing of a vote on Friday. Looks like a strong possibility of a vote.
Julie, and first of all, so what happens when the vote happens? I mean, where are we legally then? I mean, is that it? Is there marriage equality in New York if this vote passes Friday? Are there other steps?
Well, the only other steps, of course, the governor needs to sign a bill, and then after passage, 30 days is according to the bill that was submitted yesterday. So 30 days from the time that it would pass.
Wow. Awesome. Julie, it's interesting. You were mentioning, the Republicans and what they're doing. I mean, it's obviously I've seen polls there, as you have, that, there is majority support in New York for gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yes.
Just when you think this is not a partisan issue anymore, you look at members of the Bush and the McCain and the Cheney family. Mm-hmm. Speaking out for marriage equality.
Right.
You look at the polling, and it's literally flipped, you know what I mean, in terms of Republicans are against it, if you poll just Republicans. Well, mm-hmm. What do you think is happening with that? I mean,
I think that over time, however, it is correct that among the base of Republicans in the recent polls in April and May that showed majorities supported an all-time high, 58%, opposition was at an all-time low of 36%, we see that Democrats are overwhelmingly in favor. Independents, a key voting group for the Republicans, are overwhelmingly in favor, but the core Republicans are not. However, over time, I believe that those numbers have improved, though. So while they're not showing majority support yet, they are better than they were a few years ago, and I think do reflect a national trend of moving towards support. Among people over the age of 55, of course, there are not majorities, but among young people there are majorities, I believe, regardless of their party affiliation. So we're moving in a trend of acceptance and support.
And yet, Julie, I mean, you do look at all this polling nationwide and, that obviously largely in favor of, overturning Don't Ask, Don't Tell, in favor now of marriage equality nationally. And yet you look at these Republican candidates for president and, Mitt Romney, on every other issue, has had to flip-flop on supporting gay rights. Tim Pawlenty, of course, would put Don't Ask, Don't Tell back in place. I mean, why are they still having to run so far to the right when that's not where the country is?
I think that a strong part of it, of course, is the audience that one is playing to in a primary, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking to the religious right and to the base. I think that, in New York, it is interesting in that a number of, I think more than half of the expected $2 million that will be raised for the marriage equality effort will come from donors, and it has come from donors, who are Republican donors or affiliated at times with Republicans, such as New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. So in some ways, I think that it will be very interesting to see how 2012 GOP candidates for president respond, if at all, to what happens in New York, because the effort, like it or not, will have a Republican face to it. It will be a Republican-led Senate that passes the bill, whether or not they do it reluctantly because politically they need to, but it will have been the first Republican-led state legislature to do so, and it will have happened because more than 50% of the fundraising for the particular effort came from GOP-affiliated donors. So lots of, I think, potential impact from that.
Well, I mean, obviously, as I said yesterday, a good day between California and New York, because, both, again, sort of trendsetters, right? I mean, if this happens legally in New York, I think that's going to be a tipping point, don't you?
I think it does have the potential to establish some very strong momentum. Legally, I don't know that it will have much impact in terms of the merits of cases that may be working their way toward the Supreme Court from a strictly legal standpoint. But with New York, yes, remember, it will become the most populous state where there is marriage equality. It's less populous than California, but we know that California has a limbo right now because of Prop 8. 20 million people here. That will double overnight the number of Americans living in a state where they have access to marriage equality. And I think that the psychological impact could be very strong. I think also it will beg the question of what the Democratic Party's leadership, being President Barack Obama, will how he will respond to it.
Yep.
What kind of pressure will it put on him? Notably, he is due next week in New York for the DNC LGBT gala. And should you have marriage equality in New York with him there less than a week after it happened,
yeah,
I think a lot of us are going to be watching to see how does he acknowledge that.
Yeah, let's hope he evolves a little faster. We've all been in relationships where could you evolve a little more quickly on my time schedule, please?
I don't believe that the subject of doubling overnight the Americans who are living in a state where there's marriage equality can be ignored. So, but of course, New York is not a done deal. New York is not a done deal. I think that needs to be emphasized over and over again.
Yeah. Well, Julie, we will check back in with you as always. Julie Bolzer from The Advocate. Thanks so much for your time.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks, Julie. There she goes. She's good.
Yes, she is.
She's good as reporter-type people go. Let's
informed, as it were.
Yes.
What? Yes.
Charles in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Charles.
Hi, Charles. Good morning.
Good morning.
I got a tough question regarding this, the gays in the military issue.
The gays, yes.
Yeah, so that has to deal with HIV. You know, the rate of HIV is much higher with people that practice sodomy along with hepatitis C.
Hello.
Not worldwide,
not the case, actually.
Yeah, it's about 30 times. 30 times higher from what I'm saying.
What about 30 times higher?
Wow. What about straight people that practice sodomy?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. By the way, sodomy is any sexual act not used for specifically for procreation. What you're referring to, I guess, is
door.
Yes,
back
exactly.
Door, there you go.
And the practicing level in straight people has zero effect in your mind?
No, that's why I said that, because male and females can engage in that, right? And the rate of AIDS is much higher among people that engage in that. But
Charles, where are you getting these statistics from?
But
the rate of intercourse to the amount of people who have HIV is actually, there's an entire spectrum of ways you can contract it. And that's a very narrow window. The vast majority of the cases in the world right now are in Africa, for instance, and a lot of those people are. It's not at
Charles,
a lifestyle.
Charles, I'm unclear what your concern is that gay people are going to have sex with straight soldiers and then they're give them
they're
AIDS.
They're going to be around
your...
it. Yeah. So the,
well,
he's here, worried that soldiers will contract it.
The cost. Now, tell me if this is true. Like the cost of AIDS treatment is about $20,000 a year. Is that right? On average.
I don't know the exact cost.
What your insurance covers and what program you're actually on.
And what you need, exactly.
So
because there are related diseases. A large cost is the treatment of AIDS-related diseases, right.
Okay, and then I also read a report like one out of four men, homosexual men, have the HIV.
Okay,
are you getting your statistics from Reverend Fred Phelps' website? Is that where you're getting your statistics?
Yeah, these are made up statistics, Charles.
Are these stapled to the back of a Westboro Baptist church sign?
Yeah, these are totally made up statistics.
Check out some of those fun facts on there.
Do you know that 20% of gay men are taller than the other 80% of gay men?
Taxpayers.
Did you know that?
All right, Charles. It's a taxpayer concern. He's a fiscal conservative, really, rather than a homophobe.
That IRS agents can catch AIDS from people who put gay charity donations
I'm pretty
on
sure
their
that's,
tax forms.
That's from God Hates.
Yeah. So we shouldn't
F4forgayman.com because there's have you ever checked out some of those scientific what's to do with the number of fecal particles and bits are really some really interesting stuff
they
there.
They obsess over some weird stuff over there. Mm-hmm. So we shouldn't treat anybody who gets sick in the military.
Oh, by the way, I think they have that information on fecal particles because all these facts were pulled directly from their
right, exactly. That's
from their butt.
Yes. Uh-huh. Right. Yes. Gordon in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Gordon.
Hi, it's tough to follow up on Herman Cain, but I'll do my best. And I guess that leads into it. I'm a big Democrat, very anti-Republican. I can't stand what the party speaks. And my argument here is I think their words speak for themselves in terms of defeating them. I've heard you say it in a few times, and I'm driving in. I heard you bring it up again, lack of experience. I just don't think we need to use that argument because, you know what, they always counter with Obama. Look, on paper, he really didn't have a lot of experience. So I'm just saying, as far as beating right-wingers, let their words speak for themselves.
Right.
The American people
well,
decide,
Newt, or,
of experience, it shouldn't even be an issue.
Right.
I mean, you got to go back to Eisenhower. I mean, Obama poked them all on that. You know, he was, believe me.
Well, right. And all that being said, Herman Cain has experience making crappy pizza. And Mitt Romney has experience being the 47th worst job creator among governors when he was governor of Massachusetts.
Did you know 1 out of 4 gay men don't sort their laundry?
What?
I read that. I saw that. That's so true. That's so true. But luckily, they're dating the other 3/4.
See, that's why there's no gay Cialis commercials.
Yeah.
See,
gays
don't even do laundry.
Have 3 times as many boyfriends as guys who actually fold their own laundry.
The chat room is coming up with a whole bunch of statistics for gay
men. Exactly. Freshly pulled from your
phone.
All right, 46 minutes after the hour. Right back, more Hump Days Without. We have Wiener news, so I think we're going to have to play Wiener Dog because I'm getting
Wiener
tired
dog
of talking.
On a skateboard?
Yes, because I'm getting tired of talking about the other wiener. Okay, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Stephanie Miller.
Now you tell her.
Now you tell
her. Don't have to sell your body to the
now.
Damn it.
A warning. 51 minutes to the hour.
Got a name, cop.
1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. In the midst of the Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
As a 48-hour difference for anybody who...
Sue in Rockville, Maryland. I guess people are just making up gay statistics willy-nilly now.
Yeah,
it's
make up your own gay statistics day.
Yes. Hi, Sue.
Hi, I'm not making this up. It's from a site called the Society for the Preservation of Intelligence.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out you can catch stupid through radio waves.
Oh, no.
Yes, because what
I have to ask you, no longer playing people like Charles. I'm sorry. I have to preserve. I'm getting older. I've got to preserve what little IQ I have left.
Sure.
Yes, I do apologize. The Stephanie Miller Show wishes to apologize.
What you just said
for what Charles
is
said.
One of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point... were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought?
Mm.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Thank you. There's only one thing to fix that.
What?
Wiener dog!
Wiener dog, wiener dog, how did you get so long? Wiener dog, wiener dog, come with me to the Hump Days with Hal Sparks. Wiener dog, wiener dog, come listen to my song. Wiener dog, wiener dog, it's you that I adore.
Wiener dog on a skateboard.
Yeah, because there's a video of a wiener dog on a skateboard.
There would have to be.
Yes.
Somebody has to compete with Baby Monkey riding backwards on a pig. Okay.
Oh, yeah, Hal hasn't fallen down that hole with us yet.
No.
Oh, dear. We apologize. All right. Well,
I will go kicking and screaming.
In other wiener news. New York One reporting he may resign in a couple of days. Speculation starting to rise. I know. Fill in your own, jokes here.
Mm-hmm.
The most recent, obviously, the president saying if it were him, he would resign. Long Island Congressman Carolyn McCarthy said she was hearing he might resign in a couple of days. The boner speaking out on the wiener now, saying
yes.
He should.
You know why
down.
The president said that if it were he would resign? because he's the president, and you can't say things like, if it were me, I wouldn't have sent pictures of my the first place.
Yes, and by the way, Michelle would have killed me by now. Right. So if that were me, it would not
if
be me.
If it were me, I wouldn't have used Twitter to send a picture of my wiener.
Yes. Yes.
At least have the decency to text people.
Yes.
Because then it's debatable. And House, never get your face in the shot.
Democrats are counting on growing pressure from Wiener's colleagues, a suggestion from the president, and the return of his wife from her overseas trip to persuade him to resign.
She's gorgeous, too.
Yeah.
She's beautiful.
Yeah,
like,
I know. It's always, ridiculous. You know, what, looking up at Tiger Woods' wife, anybody's like, you're like, what? What's wrong with you?
It's like that old saying, show me a beautiful woman and I'll show you a guy who's tired of sleeping with her.
God. All right. Representative Carolyn McCarthy, New York.
I mean, it's taken away from all the issues that we're fighting for. It's been, what, 2 weeks? It's been a very long 2 weeks.
Yeah.
She said he's waiting for his wife to come home. That's what we're hearing from his
friend. She comes home today, by the way.
Oh, dear.
Oh, boy.
Schumer is the one Democrat that has not taken a stand. He's very close to Anthony Weiner. He said, as I said this weekend, those of us who've been friends with Anthony Weiner for a very long time feel his wrongful behavior is distressing, saddening, and heartbreaking. It's clear he needs professional help. That's what he sought, and that's all I'm going to say. So he's one of the few that has not.
Okay, I don't think you need professional help for something like that.
No.
I think that's a character choice you made. It is completely okay within your realm.
Is there character rehab?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
you shouldn't be sending pictures of your when your pregnant wife is. Yeah.
Yeah. Arguably, it might make you more inclined. Let's say you were drunk to do something like that, but it wouldn't give you the impulse in the first place. It would just remove the limitations on acting on it.
Chris, I told you this. I can speak from experience. I just drunk dialed someone the other night, and it's sloppy and embarrassing and humiliating. But I didn't go Tracy Morgan or something. As we've discussed this before, alcohol doesn't make you say things that are true, but are just really embarrassing. Embarrassing and humiliating.
It's like when Mel Gibson went, and suddenly he's going into rehab for it. I'm like,
you don't rehab your attitude about Jews.
Right. Alcohol didn't make you anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense at all. If anything, it allowed you out. And that's the problem we have. Not your behavior while you were drunk, but the fact you went, oh my God, you've been hiding the fact that you're a scumbag for all this time.
All right. Representative
The Beaver will be out. And
Representative Sander Levin of
I think we should send a strong message to him that he should resign.
What kind of message would that be, sir?
I think the more of us who say it, the more telling it will be.
All right. And Nancy Pelosi spoke out again after their meeting.
I wanted to be sure that they knew why I came to the conclusion that with the love of his family, the confidence of his constituents, and the need for help, that Congressman Weiner should resign from the Congress.
They had their Democratic meeting, but they didn't take any action because they're hoping that
he does
this pressure
himself.
He will. It seems like a critical. We're hitting
everybody
critical
in the world is pretty much asking him to resign now.
Yeah, Matthew in Asheville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, much love from Asheville, guys. Hal might hold this title, but I just wanted to see if I could be your official straight guy who says I'm straight but I don't hate. And I had a question following up about that. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
I have a – you might want to cue up the dramatic music.
Oh, okay.
I have a friend who is a gay Republican.
Double stung you, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yes.
I mean, I have tried everything I can to tell him, look, he's a big Mitt Romney supporter. I've been trying to tell him, look, this guy's not going to help you. No, none of these guys are going to help you. If there was one thing that you could tell my friend to try and lead him back to at least not necessarily being a Democrat, but just away from the Republican Party, what would it
be? Right. Well, this is what I don't get about Ken Melman. He came out. It's like, hey, the enemy you're sleeping with is not another man. It's the Republican Party. I don't get that, saying, I'm still Republican
gay Republicans tend to look more towards the economic policies of the Republican Party rather than social policies.
Which are almost as awful as their policies against gays.
Right.
They tend to totally ignore their own social worth in the argument. It's not the same thing as being more focused on the economic policies. They literally, you literally have to act actively turn your back on your own community to be a part of that.
I'm friends with a whole bunch of gay Republicans.
I know, and they're completely
what?
Bananas.
No, they're not completely bananas. And they really resent it when you say that.
I know.
Well, because you know why? Because they're bananas.
Because their political beliefs are just as well thought out as yours.
58.
No, they're not.
Oh, my God. Yes. An interfamily spat has broken out.
No, they're not.
Representative
they're not as well thought
Keith
out.
Ellison of the great state of Minnesota, where Hal and I will be Saturday.
Man.
Next.
Don't be the party that wants the... All right.
Stop talking
no.
over me. This is my show, damn it.
I don't care. This is important.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa. I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa. Hands on to feel good. Hey. All right. Hands on to feel good.
Take that, you stream. Little Hal Sparks bumping and grinding in your face in the morning. Hello. The sexy hour of the Stephanie Miller Show, brought to you by the Office and Professional Employees International Union, AFL-CIO. It pays to belong.
Yeah, union.
Yeah. Yes. I'm in two unions.
Of course you are. Me too. 6 minutes after the hour, StephanieMiller.com, the website, SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website, coming to Minneapolis, Minnesota this weekend for the Sexy Liberal Show at the State Theater. Tickets are almost gone. Got to go quick. Get it.
Mm-hmm.
So Sexy Liberal on Facebook as well. Speaking of awesome, amazing things in Minnesota, our very personal favorite, Representative Keith Ellison of the great state of Minnesota, joins us now. Good morning, Congressman.
How are you doing? Good to talk to you today.
Are you going to be in Minneapolis this Saturday?
I most certainly am.
Are you coming to the Sexy Liberal Show?
I heard that there's this super comedian going to be on, and I'm going to be there.
Woo!
Whoa! Yeah!
Yes!
Oh, that's nice.
He's helping
that's the
out.
Nicest thing he's ever said about me.
Well, good morning, sir. How you doing?
You know what? I'm doing good. I'm feeling good because we're starting our American our dream tour for jobs and economic justice. We're getting this thing going. We're going to start in Minneapolis at 2 p.m. right next to the Netroots conference. So we're going to be driving people to that. And you know, we got 12 sites already. And the idea is to make jobs the issue. Right now, we're talking all about what we're going to cut. Well, how are we going to grow? How are we going to get people back to work? You know, I tell you, 9% unemployment is an outrage and a disgrace, and we have adjusted ourselves to it in Washington, but Americans across the nation aren't adjusted to it. They are outraged by it, and so we need to go out to the folks to talk to them, you know, make a wave to force Congress and the president to focus on jobs. So that's what we're doing.
Well, let me just, you know, for people that don't know or haven't heard this yet, it's the Congressional Progressive Caucus. It's a 12-city summer jobs tour. So you're going to hit the road all June and July to really focus on job creation, which I absolutely think is, you know, the most important issue. I mean, I watched this Republican debate, Congressman, and Mitt Romney, he was 47th in job creation in the country when he was governor of Massachusetts. So, you know, other than criticizing the president, what is your idea for creating jobs?
Well, he has no idea, but he knows that it's a point of vulnerability because we do have high unemployment. But let me tell you what we need to do. Look, we got American bridges and roads crumbling. We need to put people back to work, build an infrastructure. This is something we could do. We are riding on our grandfathers and grandmothers' gift to us in terms of these roads, these bridges. We need to invest in America's infrastructure today. Two, we need to be able to get a public jobs bill. I'm talking about WPA-style public jobs bill to help get to get people working in Head Start, to get people fixing up public buildings like schools and stuff like that. Also crumbling across America. And we also need a surface transportation bill. I mean, we got work that needs to be done. We got people who need to do it. And corporate America has $2 trillion in cash that's just sitting there. And so we got the three things you need to make the economy move. We got people, we got needs, and we got money. And yet we're not combining them in a way that puts people back to work. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to create demand for a jobs bill, a real jobs bill. And I don't care. It's not a Republican thing. It's being not a Democrat thing. This is a people of America thing. And so we're going across America, pump it up, Progressive Caucus.
Yep. Well, Congressman, I think this is so important right now because, boy, you know, someone just sent me this graph again of jobs, you know, under Bush, under Obama. And the fact is, it has been 16 straight months of adding private sector jobs. Somehow we get to 50,000. Adding 50,000 a month is not what we're hoping for. But you have to look at this graph and go, we were losing 700,000 jobs a month. It has gone straight up since President Obama took office. And, you know,
absolutely.
And, you know, like
easy,
I said,
absolutely.
And, you know, and the media likes to spin that, oh, that stimulus hasn't worked. Well, it has worked. In my opinion, it should have been bigger. What do you think?
I think it should have been bigger. I think that it's Republicans who forced some of the tax stuff in there. And what should have been there is infrastructure development.
Right.
But in order to get the deal done, they demanded that we put this tax cut stuff in there as opposed to putting this stuff in there to really get America working again. So, look, you know, but we're not – but you know, even though Obama has done a good job, even though the stimulus worked, we still need 150,000 jobs a month in order to just keep it zero. If we make – if we're less than that, then unemployment's going to go up because we got that many people leaving school, entering the workforce every month. So we got to create way more jobs than 50,000. Again, I give Obama credit and I give the Congress credit and I give every good employer credit for adding jobs, but it's still not enough jobs, so we got to do more than we were doing before. And we got to do it despite Republican opposition.
Yeah,
how are we going to do it? We're going to go out to the big American people and get and listen to their stories. I mean, you know, I heard this one business guy say, well, the problem is uncertainty. I said, $2 trillion in corporate earnings is not uncertainty. That's pretty certain right there. If you
right.
want uncertainty, you want uncertainty? Here's uncertainty. Try being a single mom raising three kids on $10 an hour. Now, that is my definition of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just ridiculous.
Well, and I loved your piece on, you know, you basically said, let's focus on creating jobs, not playing chicken with the debt ceiling. You know,
right.
it's like, here we
yeah,
go again yeah. with another, you know.
That's a level of uncertainty that businesses across the country are using. When you look at the United States potentially, you know, defaulting on its debts, and devaluing
our
currency, that I don't know why anybody's not calling out the Republicans for that negative effect on business.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you, we're calling them out on it, but you know, but thanks to you guys, we're able to break through the bubble. I'm going to say this about the corporate media: they don't cover liberals. They just don't.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie Miller covers us, mm-hmm. you know.
Right.
But by and large, you know, they don't cover what we're talking about. They say, well, the standard bearer for the Dems is the president, and the standard bearer for the Republicans is Paul Ryan, and anything that's not within those two polls doesn't get heard about. I mean, you know, thank you for helping us get the word out on the people's budget. The only budget that balances within 10 years.
Yeah, your budget is terrific. And you know, you're absolutely right, Congressman, about the media. It drives me crazy that you can look at poll after poll, and 70% of the American people think what you and I think, that Paul Ryan's plan is awful. You know, that giving taxes,
right.
you know, more tax cuts to the rich and destroying Medicare is a bad idea. And yet the media
right.
still likes to cover it like, oh, you know, everything, you know, there's two sides. I mean, the president, you know, gets Bin Laden, and they have all these Bush administration people on the Sunday shows to talk about how it was really George Bush's victory. It's
yeah.
like, what? You know,
yeah, it's really astounding, and so the thing is that one, we've got to get we can't just complain about the media. We got to get better at what we do, and you know, and so that means, you know, reaching out to folks like you who really love this country and believe in one America, liberty and justice for all, not just some but all. And you know, we're going to have to cultivate folks who share that value, and then we're going to have to really start calling the media out, and then we're going to have to really start pushing the American people to push the corporate media to hear all sides.
Yeah.
I really believe we've got to be when they start getting Americans calling them saying, "How come we haven't heard about the people's budget? How come we haven't heard about the CPC jobs tour?" Then they'll have to start focusing on it.
Well, thank you. Instead of, you know, calling, you know, Paul Ryan's budget bold and courageous and refreshing, it's
oh my
awful.
God.
It's awful.
How courageous is it to pick on people with no political clout in Washington? You know, to pick on basically senior citizens and the low-income folks, that's bold. I mean, that is cowardly, actually.
Yeah.
And whoever said it was brave is just out
yep.
to lunch, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
that's okay. We're going to keep on swinging, man. We're not going to be – there's no backing down. There's no quitting us.
Well, you know what? We could use more than anything, 100 Keith Ellisons, in my opinion. You know what? I sense the sexy liberal ticket flying out the door right now from Minneapolis with the word that Representative Keith Ellison will be in the House Saturday night at the State Theater. We will see you then, honey.
Well, look forward to seeing you, Stephanie, and you take care.
You too, sir. There he goes. He's coming to the show. He will not go. Listen, let's just, he will not be associated with anything that is said or done on stage, please.
No, not at all. No.
Well, he's not just really. Be in the audience like everyone.
Well, I think about 20%.
Yeah.
He can be totally safe.
Yeah. Cut back Fox News will get a picture of him laughing at, you know, me shooting ping pong balls out my hoo-ha.
Yeah, or the teabagging demonstration that you
had. Whoa. Yeah, well.
Maybe you should step out for that.
Right. I might kilt it up this time so we can get.
Ooh, awesome.
That way.
Wait a minute. Why wasn't I consulted about this? I'm the other half of the teabagging demonstration.
Yeah, you want it to be authentic, don't you?
Okay, well, thank you.
Don't you care?
It's a little more commitment than I.
We're liberals. We care about facts.
It's been a long time since she's seen that.
Yeah, I'll be like, what is the holy cow? Yikes.
That's not true. She has two giant dogs. Might have been the first time humans.
I'm not generally in that position.
Doesn't matter. Everyone is in that position with those dogs. They're like Marmaduke or Clifford. I was like, when did Steph set up a gym with a speed bag? And then I was like, oh my god, I'm just standing next to the dog. That's not a pillar. That's Max's leg.
Go to StephanieMiller.com and you can see Mommy's new dog, Max and Fred.
Leave Max alone.
Hello, Jim Ward. How are you? Okay.
That's the spirit.
All right. Oh, hey, HowSparks.com and StephanieMiller.com. If you're on the Ustream, there it is.
Oh,
there's the graph. There's the graph.
Uh-huh.
There's the jobs graph. Look at it. Look at it. Stare into the graph.
Read it and weep.
Losing
and again,
jobs. Losing. Ow. Up to 700,000 jobs a month when Bush was president. Oh, look. Getting better. Look. Oh.
I think that graph's in need of a waxing, but that's a whole different
thing. Yeah, how come somehow we were, the media didn't cover how we were losing 700,000 jobs a month and that was okay, and now gaining 50,000, that's the really bad news.
Well, again, it's like when they torpedo a stock, they don't want to succeed. They go, it should have earned, you know, when something goes below earnings, they literally go, this stock should have made $4 billion last quarter because we said it would the month before.
But it only made $100 million.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It made 3.6. So we're going to sell on it. It makes no sense. It's the same kind of attitude.
18 minutes after the hour, back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is too weird, man.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Jimmy Fallon
and I both had like an hour of sleep between us, so this is just going to be gibberish by next hour. 23 minutes after the hour.
You're the one who played Fine Young Cannibals.
We're not so
I
young.
Didn't do it.
Uh-oh.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Okay. All right. Everybody get it out. Neil in Wyoming, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Neil.
Hi, you know, you were talking about Anthony Weiner before, saying he needed some professional help. I really don't think bringing hookers into the situation is going to help
him
at all.
technically we didn't. We were saying he didn't need professional help.
No, that's what you said.
Yeah.
Unless there's character rehab.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing. And again, I don't know that necessarily you need rehab. I don't know what his relationship with his wife is. I don't know what perhaps they have an open relationship, but our society is so narrow-minded you can't even have a conversation about that and get elected.
As a woman, I doubt very much. You know, by the way, honey, while I'm knocked up, it's fine if you text pictures of your
wife. No, I totally agree, but I'm not going to presume to know that. But it is true that in the United States, try to get elected as a single person alone, just on that face, is really difficult.
Yeah.
A Republican can wake up out of bed with a live boy and a dead girl.
Right.
And go away scot-free.
No big deal. Yeah, right. You could wake up, you could be on the dead boy choking
the girl.
Live girl.
Right.
All right. Well, I mentioned that, yes, that all these scandals have given us scandal fatigue. There is a new bar. You have to actually be impregnating a porn star on top of your dying wife in the hospital, like moving the tubes away. And, you know, honey, could you get the, just, you know what, pull her plug so we have more room to
here on the bed. And as long as you deny climate change can be a man's responsibility, you can, they'll forgive everything.
Exactly. All right. By the way, so Keith Ellison, the breaking news, he's going to come to Sexy Liberal Show in Minneapolis with Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, and I. Go to Ticketmaster.com to get tickets. SexyLiberal.com, you can find out all the, if you go, you can go right to the box office. Here's good news. It's good news, bad news for Minnesota, by the way. So, Michelle Bachmann running for president, however, not seeking re-election to Congress. So.
What?
So at least you get rid of one fat.
Broke. Wait, really?
Crazy.
Really?
Yes.
Mommy's new shoes.
Sorry, I think
she announced she will not run for re-election. I guess she's pretty sure that she's going to want to be president.
Oh, God, swing for the fences, MB.
Go, yes, you go, sister.
Go, Bachmeister.
Mittens. Yes.
You know, I think it's too early to talk about who's a front runner. The field is pretty wide open.
It's too early to mention the fact that I was 47th out of 50 in job creation.
Yeah, right. And that, I had a similar
who let the jobs out? Woof, woof.
All right.
Look, never mind the fact that Republicans won't vote for me because there's nothing but theocrats left and I'm a Mormon. They're going to they'll let me get about as far as they want to hamstring me.
Can I just say, Jim, could he sound any smarmier and more insincere? He sounds like clip art.
I sound insincere? Why, that's ridiculous. Why, who would accuse me of sounding insincere?
I think he's actually, if you
of
watch,
of course this car has only 10,000 miles on it.
His hair actually talks for him.
Yes. He just keeps on smiling and the hair talks.
Yes. Right. It's talking hair. Someone has to do that cartoon. Just okay, Tim Pawlenty.
President Obama himself was the one who said he used the Massachusetts health care plan as the blueprint for Obamacare. That's why I dubbed it on Sunday Obamacare. And when asked by the moderator last night, I referred to the same term.
Yeah, he pussed out in front of Romney. I'm not going to say it again.
I mean, you'll see it now.
He's really tall. Garrett. Okay, the latest, bold, refreshing, courageous. See, can you even hear the exclamation points in my voice. You know, the brand new hope for the Republican field, secessionist Rick Perry.
I'm not sure that you have to make a decision in a month. It's a pretty fast world out there we live in today. So,
yes.
Again, we're giving it the appropriate thought process, and I'd hate to be pointing to a time specific, even if we decide to get in.
Yeah. How do you run for the leader of a country you just advocated leaving?
Yeah.
Dragging an entire state out. I mean, how do you run? Yes. Is that your premise or whatever?
We're going to give Texas back to Mexico.
Yeah.
And
right.
I'm going to be king of Mexico.
I'm only running for
and
president.
And then I'll be president.
So I can cut Texas loose.
And former Ambassador John Huntsman says he will announce his campaign for president June 21st at the Liberty State Park, which is the home of the Statue of Liberty, right next to the
The Statue of Paul Bunyan.
The Liberty Bell. Where,
the Liberty Bell.
Ben Franklin
where
wrote
Lady
the
Liberty
Magna Carta.
Got on her bicycle and rode through town shooting off.
First of all, you have to look at our records as governor. Every governor governs a little differently. They all have different track records. Some speak to economic success. Some speak to education or health care success. We all try to do what's best for our state. All you have to do is compare and contrast. Second, I think the citizens of this country are going to be very interested in a president who understands the world for what it is. It's complex, it's confusing, it is uncertain, and it's not going to get any better in the years to come.
That is the site where President Reagan made his first post-nomination speech during his 1980 White House run. Because, see, everyone's starting to be more Reagan-y. Someone needs to have the to do it right on Reagan's grave. They need to declare for president on top of Reagan's grave.
Did he just run for the Republican position on the idea that the world is complicated?
Yeah. He's not going to make it. You know why?
Yeah, right.
He won't make it because he wrote a love letter to President Obama.
Yeah.
He had a man crush.
Sorry,
and
dude.
And there's letters.
They're going to cut you loose.
That's worse than a sext.
Okay. Enjoy the speaking fees.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good Lord.
Stephanie Miller.
You look atrocious. I thought I told you to take a vacation.
Bob? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Next hour, Mo Gaffney, comedian extraordinaire, and also Ted Boutros, fresh from his legal victory yesterday out here in California for a Prop 8. Yahoo! Turns out gays can be judges, too. What?
Okay. No, they can't. Yeah, well...
The judge said cha yesterday.
I instituted a lawsuit yesterday to deny straight people from being able to either... preside over or recuse themselves from any case involving sexuality of any sort.
Of any kind.
Yeah.
At all.
Divorce
all
proceedings, marriage, anything. Forget
okay.
it.
Okay. Thank you. All right. It's by the way, kids, as we know, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show starring Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang in Minneapolis at the State Theater this Saturday, where Netroots Nation is also going on, which is very, very exciting. By the way, there's a special code. If you go to Ticketmaster.com, type in NN1. Hey, you sunk my battleship.
One, one.
Oh,
one,
what?
One. Two N's, two ones.
That's what you said. That's what
one,
I said,
one.
Right?
No.
No.
Okay. What is it?
One, one.
One.
Okay,
and
fine.
One, one.
That's, and you get a discount on tickets that are the very few remaining tickets for Sexy Liberal Show if you're in town there for Netroots Nation or you're just in town there. Hello, Raven Brooks of Netroots Nation. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How's everybody there?
Hey, we're doing great. Now, did you? When are you? When does Netroots Nation start in Minneapolis?
We are officially kicking off tomorrow, but we have some pre-convention stuff going on today. So there's a lot of people in town, and you know, it's getting started here.
Oh, awesome! It's now you're the executive director of Netroots Nation. For people that don't know, Raven, tell us what that is.
So you know, Netroots Nation is, I guess, the biggest gathering of the progressive movement. There's all these organizers and activists and bloggers and people that work for advocacy organizations and labor. We all get together. We have a bunch of panels. We talk and strategize. We have a great time, and it's kind of like a big family reunion.
Well, God, you have quite a lineup this year in terms of speakers. Russ Feingold, Al Franken, Howard Dean, Van Jones, Keith Ellison, Donna Edwards, Gerald Nadler. That's quite a lineup.
Yeah, it's, you know, people are really excited. We've got some great, you know, speakers coming out here, you know, I think it's going to be really good. I mean, it's really going to be focused, I think, on, you know, what people need to do to step up to, you know, create change themselves rather than trying to rely so much on elected leaders and, you know, trying to win elections.
Now, I know you got started in politics in Howard Dean's campaign, and our friend David Bender will be there with us this weekend, who is Howard Dean's senior advisor. Carl Frisch from Bullfight Strategies. I mean, it seems like really all the big thinkers in the progressive movement are going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely what ends up happening. I mean, everyone that, you know, is out there innovating in progressive politics, you know, is out there. They're on panels. They're out trying to meet new people or start new ideas. And, you know, there's a, you know, long history of, you know, people just having some good hallway conversations, and, you know, a big project will come out of that or some new organization. So it's really kind of a, you know, unique atmosphere for this kind of thing.
You know, Raven, we hear a lot, you know, there's always a storyline in the mainstream media, and that is that, oh, you know, that everybody's dispirited on the left. Everybody's, you know, apathetic. What do you feel like the sense is?
You know, I think people are disappointed. I wouldn't say apathetic, because that sort of implies that, you know, they're not willing to work to get the change that they want. I think people are going to leave Netroots Nation really energized, and, you know, it might not necessarily be towards working on yet another election, but they'll leave energized nonetheless to be bringing about, you know, the change on the issues that they're passionate about.
Well, I mean, I think certainly New York 26 shows us that, you know, again, you can't always believe the media storyline. You know, when 70% of Americans think Paul Ryan's plan is an awful plan, you know, we're certainly not wrong on the issues, right?
Right. I mean, you know, the Republicans have given us some great gifts. I mean, all they have to do is just kind of trot around all this Medicare stuff. I mean, they're really handing us, you know, some real advantages, and it's just, you know, we have to take advantage of them.
Yep. Yep. What are some? Tell us what some of the, you know, panels are, the whatever they are. You know, there's, you have training, a strategy session, films. Just tell us some of the highlights.
Sure. So, you know, we've got a training track. There's about 30 sessions there. We're really proud of that because it really, you know, kind of gives a lot of the leading thinkers a chance to impart their skills to other people. So we've got people that are, you know, doing media training. We have people that are training on kind of, you know, advanced uses of social media. There are people that are training on, you know, really deep field stuff like kind of mapping out the power relationships in your area and how you take advantage of those. We've got some great panels that, you know, do everything from review, you know, what we did on fights like Don't Ask, Don't Tell and the Dream Act, to, you know, more forward-looking stuff. Like how do we capitalize on some of the enthusiasm that's, you know, sprung up around places like Wisconsin? So there's going to be a lot of really great discussions going on.
Well, listen, I could lend you my sexy liberal Hal Sparks to teach a course in advanced social media because the man literally never has some sort of gadget out of his hand. That's just some sort of social media
that's
tool.
That's the initial, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can't win the lottery if you don't buy a ticket. And I think social media wise.
Raven, we hope you'll join us if you can at the Sexy Liberal Show Saturday night. And I know lots of Netroots folks are coming out. So congratulations on you know, all the. I know people are really excited this year. So we will see you in Minneapolis Saturday.
Yeah, see you here. It looks like it's going to be a great show.
Yeah, netrootsnation.org. There's a link to it up at stephaniemiller.com. See you Saturday, Raven.
Thanks a lot, Stephanie.
All right.
Appreciate it.
There he goes. There he goes. The executive director. Course in advanced social media. Hal Sparks is an advanced course in social media.
You know, it's funny, but that's why some of the Republicans are so coy about entering the fray. On the one hand, they know that the second they enter, they really have to start picking up real money or they're going to be immediately dismissed, and they're not going to. So they just hold off as long as possible to get the press from it. And the rest of it is they have this illusion that somehow you can Twitter your way into the presidency because it's that simple. You know,
you'll betcha.
Well, because Sarah Palin, Facebook page updates have created her media story, but she's on the level of a Kardashian. She doesn't have the votes either.
Oh, by the way, did you see John Ziegler turned on the Palins? Chris, don't tell the whole story. Okay, he's a right-wing radio host that got fired, and then he made that Palin film, the I Love Sarah Palin film.
Right.
So he wrote an expose.
Yummy.
He airs several years' worth of gripes about his relationship with Sarah Palin and her team, including that Todd approached him about a role in the 2012 presidential bid, that he would have been a key advisor there. He clearly feels burned by Palin, fears that a Palin run could in turn burn the Republicans. No kidding. The premise of the piece is a plea for her to sit this one out. You're just, you know what, you're so pretty and talented. You're too good for them. I'd sit this one out for the team. He talks about feeling burned by Palin when she accepted an apology from David Letterman when he was organizing protests to have the host fired over his Willow Palin joke.
Right.
Ziegler prepped Palin a rebuttal to a 60 Minutes hit piece but says she butchered the answer on the O'Reilly factor. I think almost everyone involved with her at some point or another has had their head in their hands. Just drop like, no.
Including
it's like My Fair Lady on crack. No! Oh, God!
Including some people who allegedly have their head in their hands because they were struck by something that was chucked.
Yeah! Whipping!
Pack! Ow! Shling. Ow!
Eric in Harlem, you're on the Stephanie Miller
Whack.
Show. Hi, Eric! Hello, Eric. Going once and going twice. All right. Quint in Houston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Quint.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hey, listen, I'm in Texas, and I'm stuck with Governor Perry, and so I wouldn't wish him on my worst enemy.
Yeah.
But I just appreciate the fact that you're getting the word out about the Republicans' lack of wanting to create jobs. I mean, the whole purpose is to make sure that President Obama serves one term.
Yeah.
So they don't care that the unemployment rate is sky high. I mean, that's their whole focus, is to make it as high as possible.
Well, Quint, you can tell that they haven't proposed or passed one jobs bill. Everything is about anti-choice, and I don't even know what else they've done. You know, now this proposal to destroy Medicare, essentially. I mean, those are their ideas. Where are the jobs?
And that's exactly what Perry is doing in Texas right now. They're cutting the Medicare and Medicaid budget. They're cutting our education budget. Their agenda is basically on the backs of the American people, and it's frustrating that when you listen to the mainstream media, you don't hear any of that.
Right.
Yep.
They talk about how, you know, a president has never been elected with such high unemployment numbers. Well, let's talk about why they're high.
Yeah.
That's not where the focus
and
is.
And if you're a business owner in this country, do you think with the debt ceiling, for example, being held hostage, that you're going to add jobs if you know if you're going to invest in your own, you know.
Well, it's like Jim always says, this is not the time to cut, you know. You can do some cutting, but the focus should not be cutting. It should be on building.
And state governments are cutting jobs all over the place and cutting fundings that trickle down into other jobs. So
Paul Ryan, who is bold and courageous and refreshing, according to the mainstream media.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, our partners on the other side of the rotunda in the Senate have chosen not to do a budget. And that is why the debt limit is the only other train in the station leaving to get any kind of fiscal controls getting out of Congress. And that is why you have these talks revolving around the debt limit.
You go with that.
If the Republicans control the House, it's your responsibility to present a budget.
Democrats—they're not going to do what we want to do. So screw them.
Right.
I'll show them.
Yeah.
We won't waste debt ceiling.
We're going to take our debt ball and go home.
Yeah.
Look, Marco.
It's Rubio.
We Americans are as great as we have ever been, but our government is broken, and it is keeping us from doing what we have done better than any people in the history of the world: create jobs and prosperity.
What do you mean, we, Kemosabe?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I would try to, in this economy, take anybody's argument seriously, but their only plan is to cut rich people's taxes further, and nobody will
and
make them explain
why
hasn't that created jobs already.
Yeah,
if you've had,
it's
Bush had those
before.
In for 8 years,
absolutely.
Why will this work now, suddenly?
What creates jobs is hiring people to fix the infrastructure, which, A, gives them jobs, and B, fixes the infrastructure, which is crumbling.
And you have the added benefit of fixing the infrastructure.
And lets other businesses operate on and with and using that infrastructure to improve their business.
Right. Exactly.
It's a win-win.
Yes. 45 minutes after the hour, back with more Right Wing World and more Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Chorus.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Yeah.
Thank you. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Is GoToMeeting a good idea?
Yeah.
GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Take it to the bridge.
Bert just makes me happy. He just does. Okay. All right. SexyLiberal.com, the website, by the way, to see get tickets for all the upcoming shows.
I was going
to
say.
We go to meeting and we misbehave.
Yeah! Ticket to the chorus.
Yeah! He's a comedy toy. Yay! Okay. Marie in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie
Miller
Show.
Yeah.
Hi there.
Hi, Marie.
Hi. I hate to burst your bubble, but you were talking about Michelle Bachmann not running for Congress the next time around.
Yes.
I think the report that I heard said that if she didn't make it through the primaries with enough delegates to get her into the White House or get her into the election, that she would indeed go and run for Congress.
God, what an embarrassment. All right.
I know.
All right. Thank you, Marie. All right. Let's dive into the... Right,
as David Bender will often say, you run for president when you can't hold your congressional seat. It's
right.
a great way to boost your national profile so that your constituents go, well, at least people in the whole country know who my rotten little Congress critter is.
Bat crazy congresswoman is.
She may not. You know,
all right, let's dive into the right-wing world for a totally different view of Michelle Bachmann, where everything's beautiful all the time, including Michelle Bachmann, and she's the smartest girl in the world.
Michelle Bachmann, the Republican congresswoman from Minnesota.
Beauty and brains, universally acclaimed by both sides to exceed expectations. A lot of this is expectations, and she beat him, and she, starting out with that sound bite, I'm in, was brilliant.
Oh, God, this is so exciting.
Why does anyone listen to what Mary Madeline has to say?
Wait a minute. Is it universally by both sides?
No.
Which
I don't remember being polled about that. All right.
You mean people in Minneapolis and St. Paul who are crazy? Crazy people both in Minneapolis and in St. Paul.
Who are crazy right-wingers,
yes. Both sides.
They both agree. Along with three out of four right-wing crazy dentists. All right, Gretchen Carlson on the Fox and Friends.
The president of the United States is doing a lousy job on the economy. And yet the president of the United States continues to blame President Bush and look backwards in time with the economy. Would you be advising him to actually come up with an economic policy for the future?
Look at the graph. Look at the graph.
Mm-hmm. He has a policy.
Yeah.
I didn't see a graph. There's no graph. Mm. Shut
no
up.
Policy. Mm. Look, the stimulus didn't work, even where it did. And we're going to stick to that meme, whether or not everything is sort of... And his policy was to make it bigger, but we hamstrung that.
She right. started off that journalistic question with a completely false premise to
yes.
begin with.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
Chris, are you saying that Fox News isn't taking their journalistic integrity seriously?
No. Okay, Susan Furr.
I love watching her goose step in her dirndl and her jackboots there. It's a good look for her.
Jim Louise. Okay, Susan Furr. I don't know what her name is. It doesn't matter. The point is, Michelle Bachmann is, winning.
Certainly Michelle Bachmann. She is kind of unknown to the vast public, and she came out looking very credible and very enthusiastic,
mm-hmm.
And she was able to really sound like she knew what she was talking about. And people
like
have been putting her down, basically saying that she's not someone who's a serious candidate. And I think that she proved them wrong by being a really good debater. And to be she's very knowledgeable, and she has an impressive background. So I think she's someone everyone's going to be watching now. And she's certainly someone that Pawlenty needs to worry about, especially after last night.
No, please. Just let what that woman said float and stay in the meme of that side so that they actually... Whatever that
believe
woman just said,
yes.
she's absolutely right.
She's
yes.
brilliant.
She's
yes.
You know,
yes. terrified.
She does sound like she knows what she's talking about.
She
does.
She
oh, yes, Michelle Bach, you're absolutely correct. No, keep that... just
I'm right. afraid.
Yes.
Mark Levin!
You're sarcastic.
Mark
for
Levin.
An ultra-right wing.
I miss you.
Are we sure it's not him? Because... even when it comes to Wiener's Wiener, Obama talks about himself. He says, if it was me, I would resign. If it's him and he'll resign, I say we make sure that it's not him. He's asked about Wiener's Wiener, and he wants to talk about his own Wiener. So, who knows?
What? President, I don't believe he's talking about his own Wiener.
Here's a good idea.
Wiener.
If you have nothing to talk about, stop using words. They're not just laying around like lumber for a
Mark
bonfire.
Mark Levin might
that
be a little jealous of Wiener and the president because he probably has tried that once. And some woman somewhere is like, field mouse? What is that? A microparticle?
Why is that entire table of women giggling over at that other table? Oh my God, that's Claire. Oh my God, that's the girl
what
I said.
What is this? Okay. Glenn Beck on the TV.
If I may quote the great Jesus, who I believe was from Puerto Rico, where the president is getting down today. I'm going to miss
you.
Are you going to miss me? This is the wee little Aaron.
Not so much.
She's just off the side of the camera going, please don't shake your bootay like that anymore.
Okay. What? Yeah, he's down to seeds and stems.
Wow.
This is really the stuff that didn't fly the first. They're like, Glenn, that doesn't even make any sense.
What? Right.
See, now they're just going back. You know, it's like this. Look, Chris, can you see this on Ustream? This is my show prep. Some of this has been in here years.
For 5 years.
Yeah, because I didn't get to it, and I'm like, I'll get to that sometime. They're just like seeds and stems.
Yeah.
So when I'm on my last legs, I'll be doing these things.
Yeah.
What is that one?
Oh, right, world's most disgusting foods. Let's see. You sent me this Wednesday, June 3rd, 2009.
Glenn Beck just did a show about that.
Mm. Lutefisk is number 3 on there. Interesting. Newsday was slow enough for me to get to that story.
The caliphate cook in the White House is serving lutefisk to the president because he's a Marxist.
What else I got in here? Yeah, this is gonna be what we're on our death throes. Man accused of trying to rob store with empty box. Yeah, I didn't get to that. Also in 2009.
With empty box.
Okay.
No comment.
All right. Ann Coulter. Yeah. Gack.
Speaking of empty boxes.
Oh, hey, Christopher Louise LaVoy. It's a good thing you said that after I just met her, saw her, and had my picture taken with her this weekend in New York.
You really did? She shows up in photographs?
Yeah, no, amazing.
I remembered why I dislike libertarians so much. Saying government should be out of it is a perfectly good answer for 90% of the questions you will ever be presented with. It is not a good answer to what do you think of gay marriage? Oh, we should just get government out of the business of marriage. No, I'm sorry, marriage has consequences. Who gets to adopt? Who pays alimony? Who inherits?
Yeah, that's exactly why gay people should have the same rights and privileges as everyone else. It's called the Equal Protection Clause.
Your point is what exactly?
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of which, Ted Boutros, who just won a terrific victory out here. Big news in California. It turns out you can be a gay and a judge. Who knew? All right, big news out here.
Ask John Roberts about that.
You can't rule.
What?
We'll talk to Ted Boutros and also Mo Gaffney, comedian extraordinaire, as we continue. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
What? Chris Christie had Rudy Giuliani for lunch. Oh.
No, they had lunch together.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
It just looks like it.
Chiron was a little misleading.
dear.
When he came up to the podium, it's, oh my God!
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I swore I saw Giuliani's tie go like a piece of pasta and the Lady and the Tramp.
Please. About the Governosaurus. All right, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Oh, by the way, the helicopter thing, he said he'd do that again. Because he's, boom! There, I said it.
Yeah.
Right, I am bold and courageous, so I did not vaporize it to the governor. Yes, I would use taxpayer money to fly my fat ass to my kids.
Did he ride
game.
In it, or did they use one of those big strapping things?
Right.
They carry whales with stuff.
He was on Piers Morgan. He refused to admit he'd done anything wrong, saying he's a father first. Yes, well, that's not the point. You don't need to use taxpayer money to fly your self.
Right.
Your what?
Nothing. In a helicopter and then a limo 100 yards, for God's sakes.
The fact that
he paid the money back, Piers Morganson seems to be that mission of wrongdoing. He said, I'm not admitting it was wrong. There, I said it. Boom. What I'm saying is if the public perceives for a moment that I'm using it for a perk of office, why would we perceive that?
Right.
Which of us can't use a state-funded helicopter to go to our kids' games? I want to take away from them right away, but I would not make a different decision if I had to do it again because it's important for me to be a father to be there for my son. Okay, thank you for playing. Missing the point entirely.
It's important
and
for you to shut the hell up.
You can't cut $800 from education and then use taxpayer money to fly yourself to your kids' game.
And only pay for it after you've been caught. Secondly, if you're a father first, if that was the issue, then you wouldn't have gotten in the position where you had to use the helicopter in the first place. You would have gone, you know what, my kid has a game and I'm planning to be there and I'm going to arrange my date because I'm a father
and
first.
I'm the governor, boom, so I'm in charge here so I can set the schedule and not vaporize into the carpet.
Instead of going, you know what, I'm going to push this because I'm meeting with one of my corporate donors and, you know, handlers.
Thank you. Sexyliberal.com is the website. The Sexy Liberal Show, starring Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang, coming to Minneapolis this Saturday, Chicago, for Gay Pride Weekend next Saturday, June 25th. That's going to be huge. Because we got the Chicago Blues All-Stars backing us up for the show. It is Gay Pride Weekend. It's Taste of Chicago. It's
Boston and Tucson next month.
Netroots Nation is this weekend in Minneapolis. I'm just telling you.
Yep.
Everything's happening. Where we go, that's where the happenings are.
And Boston...
Saturday, July 16th.
Yeah, exciting.
Yeah, exactly. And all the upcoming shows. Second show, L.A., selling very quickly. You better hurry there. Mm-hmm. San Francisco, selling very quickly. Better hurry there. Those are not till August, but... flying out the window! San Francisco, I heard that it's in... When is that one? October 29th?
Yeah.
That's over a 2,000-seater, and there's only, I think, 100 tickets left, last I heard. Something like that. So, hooray! All right. Let's see. StephanieMiller.com, the regular old website. You can email us all there.
The horse-drawn website.
Pardon me?
The horse-drawn website.
The horse-drawn website. The old-fashioned
kind. I thought it was coal-firing. I thought we updated it.
Whatever. By the way, Mike in Austin. Oh, we're messing with Texas. When is that one? November 12th. Get your tickets. Sexy Liver Show, Austin. Mike in Austin writes, Stephanie Mooks. I did see this. On Meet the Press, Reince Priebus came up with some laughable sound bites regarding Republican sex scandals because they were discussing, of course, the Wiener scandal.
Mm-hmm.
He said Senator Ensign resigned within 6 months of my becoming chairman. I thought I was the only one that went. What? Mike says, first, the sentence suggests the Ensign scandal was resolved in a shorter time than it actually was, and no mention, of course, the reason Ensign was resigning was that the Ethics Committee was about to get medieval on his ass. Mm-hmm. Second, Priebus actually sounds like he's taking credit for Ensign resigning, which he had nothing to do with
it. As a matter of fact, everybody raced to make sure that he didn't get in trouble, and Coburn and those guys were literally brokering the deal.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
As a Coburn, I had nothing to do with any transfer of funds, which of course means he carried the money in his rectum to the tree stump
Excuse
in the middle
me?
Of the park.
We don't have any information where it was carried.
Allegedly.
How?
By
Sparks.
Me. I allege
All right.
that.
Two, let's see. One love letter, one hate letter. Margaret and Jolene and Madison. Steph, you're so contagious. You know what we do now? We say beauty pal, beauty pal.
Beauty pal.
Because my friend Rob does that to his lab and then also to me, and it's how he puts me to sleep. He just, you pet your friend and go, oh, beauty pal, beauty pal. You are so beauty pal.
Your friend is from the Philippines.
Yeah. Your friends don't do that to each other.
I do. Margaret and Jolene write, we say beauty pal, as we try to wind down at the end of a long, weary day. And it's all because of you. It's like we can't help ourselves. You casually mention, oh, my friend says this to his dog, and I can only sleep when he does that to me. We instantly find it's added to our lexicon. You are so damned infectious. And also, beauty pal.
Oh,
thank you, Margaret.
And they don't have the sound in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. The Philippines. So when the bus boy comes to take your place, are you penis?
I'm finished.
Yes,
right.
The friends I bond with, like Rob, it's because they're as big a freaks about their dogs as I am.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own. That's how Lady is his lab, and he just goes, oh, Lady, beautiful, Lady is so beautiful. And I find it charming and not freaky. Mm. And so he doesn't mind when I go, man, I'm free. Who's the most handsome, romantic, athletic man in the world? Wow.
Well,
okay.
All righty then.
All right. Mm. Speaking of animals,
marriage of convenience, I think.
KJ in Brooklyn with another report, Chris, of an earworm suicide due to the Stephanie Miller Show, for which we apologize. Dear Steph, I may do it soon. It's all your fault. Baby monkey song embedded in my brain forever, and I haven't even watched the video yet. Being a musician, every possible incarnation of that song is crashing through my skull. I hate you and your ass face. KJ in Brooklyn, I apologize for the...
How did that even happen?
What?
Baby monkey, riding on a pig, baby monkey.
It's gone insane. Actually, I think it's just the beginning part of that. Like,
as this is Hump Days with Hal, can I start setting some ground rules for when I'm here? Starting with no more baby monkey.
Ooh. I just like the beginning of it. All right, Eric and... See what happens.
Chimpanzee riding on a Segway.
Oh, come on, don't, Jim. Don't start. All right, Eric and Harlem.
On a skateboard.
Why
okay,
we just
hi,
make
Eric and
up
Harlem.
All kinds of ridiculous.
We're not making it up. Okay. Hi, Eric and Harlem.
Y'all have deep, embedded, rooted issues.
I know it.
Listen, you know, hey, Mama Mooks, hey, Hal.
Hey.
Hey, listen, I think the problem with, Ellison talked about is driving a message. And I think the Republicans do a good job of it, and we do a poor job because the Democrats, instead of being courageous, we can be bashful and cowardice. And that's part of the problem.
Yeah,
I think honestly, our issue is that we try to, you know, in a conversation, we try to break down the beats of an argument and really make that argument instead of just letting it stand on the principle and ending the conversation there, because that's what they tend to do. They tend to do these enormous,
and
statements.
Also,
I'm for freedom. Yeah. End of conversation. Yeah. And they can't back it up because they're not for freedom. They don't want gay people to be free. They don't want women to be free. They don't want.
They all are the Republican side. I'm just saying it tends to be where the racists and homophobes congregate. Herman Cain, pizza guy. Free twisty bread for everybody. He responded to criticism of the Muslim loyalty oath that he would demand in his administration, because you can't be the really Muslimy kind of Muslim. You would have to just be. He said it's not bigoted. It's called being careful. He would make you sign a loyalty oath if you're Muslim. No
sure.
other religion, just Muslims, because that's you got to be careful.
Wait a minute. That guy, kids, what do you mean that there's a big mushroom cloud? That guy signed the oath. Like, you know what I mean? That's absurd that somehow, what are you going to
do? It's like kids that sign the virginity pledge.
Or the three questions when you get on the plane. Like,
I think it's been proven now that signing the virginity pledge makes kids horny. I'm pretty certain, because it's backfired in a big way.
Yes, yeah. I did let someone else pack my bags for me, and he was wearing a turban, he was very angry.
Those three questions that they used to ask, which they stopped asking once terrorism became a real issue, are a pre-Miranda admission of guilt in the event that they find drugs in your bag. That's all they were ever for. They were always, because what would somebody say? I didn't pack my bag.
Yeah,
didn't pack my bag.
What?
Look, somebody handed that to me. I didn't know what was in it.
I've never seen it before.
Some guy wanted me to carry them. I laid my bag down for a second. I come back and there's 45 kilos
of
heroin.
See, I'm such a bad last-minute packer. I would always, I would forget to pack the drugs, even if I were going to bring them.
Right.
I'd be like, oh, boy.
I knew I forgot something.
Flipper, earring. Forgot the pot. Okay. By the way, speaking of pizza guy, he tripped over the Constitution yet again and bungled the 14th Amendment at the Republican debate. Yeah. As you know, he's had his struggles with the Constitution lately. I love they're the party of the Constitution, and they keep getting it wrong. Confusing it and the Declaration of Independence, misunderstanding a clause about bankruptcy, failing to grasp the unconstitutionality of religious tests in determining someone's fitness for employment. At the debate the other night, he stretched his misunderstanding of the Constitution to a new subject, birthright citizenship and the 14th Amendment. During the debate, he said the law needed to be changed so children of undocumented immigrants were not granted citizenship upon birth. He just said... I'm not going to explain the whole thing.
No law restricting the presence of jalapenos and pineapple on a pizza.
Here's the good news for future candidacies of the Herman Cains and Michelle Bachmans and Sarah Palins of the world. A new report says students don't know much about U.S. history or geography.
Don't know
much about anything else.
Stop.
It's story 6,534. We're raising a nation of dummies. U.S. students don't know much about American history, according to a new national test. Just 13% of high school seniors who took, it's called the Nation's Report Card, showed solid academic performance in American history. The test quiz students on topics including colonization, the American Revolution, the Civil War, and the contemporary United States, and they just didn't.
Whatever.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say the Paul Revere question was a total non-starter.
You betcha. That's right. Paul Revere.
Right.
One shot
in the British there.
One bell by land, two
Born
shots
in the
by
British.
Sea.
About the Normandy invasion and such. Okay. Mo Gaffney, actress extraordinaire, Ted Boutros, lawyer in the Prop 8 case, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Make you
high. Everybody party, come on. Now let's get started. Take it down, come on. Take it
down. Oh, boy. This is our brain on 1 hour of sleep.
Are you saying that's not real music? Is that what you're implying?
Well, it's no.
Yeah.
Okay. 23 minutes after the... You know my musical rule. Any song with the word yow in it, automatically a great song.
Huh.
Yow.
Does this
yow? No, yow.
Okay. That's all right.
All right, listen, we have an important congressman on the phone. Would you everybody settle down? Settle.
All right,
Representative Cedric Richmond. Cedric, pardon me, of the great state of Louisiana from New Orleans area. Hello, good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm good. You were in some important committee meeting of some sort. What was happening?
Well, we're still in the Homeland Security meeting and into committee hearing on the radicalization of Muslims in our prison system in the United States.
Oh, wow, interesting. You know, we were just talking about Herman Cain, the Republican presidential candidate, saying that he would make Muslims sign a loyalty oath to do, you know, serve in his administration.
Right, and that's so ludicrous. It doesn't even deserve a response or conversation about it. That's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Representative, I know that, you know, jobs are obviously the main topic on everybody's mind these days. What, you know, I don't understand how the Republicans can keep criticizing the president for jobs, and they have not put forward one plan, have they?
No, they have not. And the hearing today is just another example of we're all over the place in terms of what our committees are taking up, what issues they deem to be important. And it's every issue under the sun except how do we get people back to work? How do we straighten this economy out? And I think that people are just so frustrated with the finger pointing and that they misinterpret the November elections last year as some mandate for belief in their policies. I think it was a mandate for us, meaning Congress people, to start listening to the American people. They're concerned about how to provide for their families, how to get a job, how to keep a job, and how to grow to the economy. And we're not talking about that.
Well, that's exactly right. It's been what, you know, whether they're anti-choice bills or whatever they're putting forward, you know, they're obviously not coming to the table to actually try to figure out how to create jobs. I mean, it just seems, you know, now we're having this, you know, it's game of chicken over the debt ceiling, right?
Right. And that's a irresponsible game to play in terms of what we do with our national credit rating. I mean, the debt's there. We have to pay for it. And at the same time, we have to figure out how to decrease what we add to the debt every year. But the responsible thing is to pay your bills and at the same time create a new budget, which causes you to spend less, save money, and pay down your overall debt. We're not having that conversation. This is a continuous campaign, especially on the Republican side. And the sad part is they don't even know who to cater to. Do they want to cater to their moderates? Do they want to cater to the Tea Party? So they're all over the place, and they can't get organized even on their message of jobs and how to fix the economy. So therefore, we're not even having the conversation in Congress because they can't even have the conversation within their own party.
Well, that's true, isn't it? Doesn't it seem like on their side they have to, you know, finish their fight with the Tea Party before, you know, they can even talk to the actual another opposing party?
Right, and I think that small segment of the Tea Party segment is holding them back in terms of trying to figure out a responsible solution to this. And I think that some Tea Partiers, if not the majority of them, would just like to continue with the crash and burn philosophy that's going to make this country a better country. And I think everyone who's looking at it logically knows that is not the case. It's irresponsible.
Yeah.
It's childish. And we can't play to the, you know, we ought to have a hearing on the radicalization of the Republican Party because
yeah,
that contingent is just,
yeah,
they're out there.
Let's get some hearings on that. Congressman Richmond, you know, every headline I read, you know, just makes me go, how do you negotiate with them? They're just so wrong on every priority. You know, the headline is Republican House to cut aid for pregnant women and children while spending $17 billion more on defense. You know, which even Secretary Gates has said we don't need to do that. That you know, the Pentagon spending is notoriously bloated, and you know they don't need it. I mean, how do you combat that when you're in the House?
Well, part of the problem is with their internal fight. Some of it just has no reason. And when you start talking about, let's just pick early childhood education, that gives us a 9-to-1 return on every dollar we spend in it. Why would you cut there when that gives us a very long-term investment, especially in terms of our budget and what the revenue we're going to garner? They're not looking at that. And some of the things, I mean, some things are just morally wrong. And I'm afraid that they want to run the country into bankruptcy in a couple areas. One is just a true bankruptcy, and the other one is a bankruptcy of our morals. When you start cutting aid to children, when you start cutting the former food stamp program and all of those social safety net programs that allow people to help themselves, then I think this country is going in the wrong direction.
Yep. Well, Representative, we're so sorry we're up against a hard break here, but I know you're so busy this morning. We appreciate you checking in with us, and hope you'll come back again soon.
I will do. Thanks for having me, Stephanie.
All right. Thank you, sir. There he goes, Representative Cedric Richmond of New Orleans. 29 minutes after the hour. Mo Gaffney, comedian, fantastic. Actress extraordinaire, hilarious. I actually fell, you know when you say, oh, I fell in the aisle? I fell in the aisle during the Kathy and Mo show. Her comedy show. Anyway,
yeah,
she's in a play here.
You were drunk.
Hammered. I was not drunk. No, I was not. Right back with Mo Gaffney next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It's an attractive nuisance. Damn near irresistible.
Girl!
Thank you. Thanks. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Ted Boutros, Prop 8 lawyer, to talk about his big victory coming up in just a few minutes. 1-800-STEP-12. Mo Gaffney, my buddy, my pal, actress, comedian extraordinaire, joins us now. Good morning, Mo.
Good morning.
I was saying, and you know this to be true, that I, you know, when they have those theater ads where you go, oh, I fell in the aisle laughing, you know that I actually did fall in the aisle during the Kathy and Mo show.
Well, you were drunk, Steph.
No, I was not drunk, Kathy. I was not drunk, Mo Gaffney. I was not.
Thank you. I love you, Stephanie Miller.
I love you, too. And you are now performing in Standing on Ceremony, the Gay Marriage Plays. What a cast we've had. Who have we had on so far? Wendy Malick and Nicole Sullivan and your friend Kathy Najimy, and you are in these upcoming ones.
Yes, I am.
When are you performing?
The 20th, Monday, okay. At 8 p.m.
Okay.
At the Gay and Lesbian Center Village at Ed Gold Plaza.
Here in Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles, yes. And they're hilarious and funny and touching. And, you know, it's just the next step. And then gay marriage will be legal.
So. Yeah. It was obviously a big day out here in California. We're having Ted Boutros on. But, I mean, who knew you could be a judge and be gay? That's shocking, really.
It really is, isn't it?
Yes.
You're supposed to be like, what, a florist?
Yeah, who could function? Who could really do anything else outside of just being gay, really?
No, he can't even think, really.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's a big win for white people, because now white people can preside over cases that involve
that
white people.
That involve white people. Yeah. Very unusual, but I believe he can do it.
Yeah, you're a big thinker that way.
I am.
You know, there is still such a dichotomy in the country, though, isn't there? I mean, we're out here in Hollywood, and, you know, this was good news yesterday. And we just did a story today, literally in Kentucky. Some community pool there threw two developmentally disabled gay guys out of the pool because they said the Bible said so.
I don't know where they get this Bible. It must be a particular edition I've never heard about before. But I think we, as much as nobody can group everybody that lives in Los Angeles into one type of person, that goes with the rest of the country. But it does seem like the stupidest people rise to the top sometimes. And certainly that works with a lot of politicians.
Yeah.
On both sides of the frickin' aisle.
Yeah.
And it also, in communities like that, you sort of hear about the worst of the community instead of the people that are just going along trying to live their lives and really could care less if anybody got married, as long as they don't have to.
Exactly. What's that saying? But I didn't do anything wrong. Why do I have to get married?
I've done it twice already.
Jim's getting really good at it.
Again?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think pretty soon, although they seem like they don't get rid of their ridiculousness as time goes on, because as I was just saying to Rebecca, the Republicans are like, no, we will not give aid to pregnant women and children, but no, we also do not want abortions.
Right.
So you people figure that out.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's exactly it. It's, you know.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we were saying is that, you know, we were just talking to a congressman that, you know, they keep talking about where are the jobs. They haven't put forth one bill or anything that would help jobs. It's all about anti-choice and about, you know.
It's all about sabotaging this administration. That's how I feel.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's like we cannot let anything good, as much as we can, we're not going to let anything good happen during this administration, because then people will like this administration and the country will get better, and then we can't, you know, slime in 2012 or 2016 or whatever. But that's my feeling.
I like that as a campaign slogan. Republicans, don't let them slime in 2012. Yes.
And I don't think Republican people so much, particularly, like just the regular Joes who have their own fears and problems. But
right.
I think these a lot of politicians who are so afraid of losing their jobs that they will pretty much say anything.
Well, you know, Mo, you're absolutely right. It really has gotten to be, you know, this kind of meme that it's, you know, if it's good for America, it's bad news for Republicans. And you're absolutely right. It's like they don't want good news because it's, yeah.
They don't. They don't really get, America's not so much their top priority.
Yeah, exactly. Not so much.
Maybe later. But
I mean, and look at the difference, the dichotomy. We had this ruling out here in California. We just talked to someone from New York, marriage equality, where that may pass this week in New York, which is huge. And,
yes.
You know, and then meanwhile, you've got their Republican field of candidates. You know, Mitt Romney's had to flip-flop that now he's not pro-gay rights. Tim Pawlenty says he would put Don't Ask, Don't Tell back into effect. You know.
I can't even talk about them because they're just... they're not Christian. They might say they're Christian, but they're not. There's not a Christian bone in their body. If you actually talk to a real Christian who actually has Christian values, they're nothing like these people.
They're not for throwing developmentally disabled gay people out of swimming pools?
Guess what? Exactly.
Really?
They're not for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anywho. But
yeah.
Luckily, we don't give up. We just don't give up as much as we want to. I get disheartened, as everyone does. And but we can't just go, enough, I'm going to go, you know, lay on the beach. We have to continue, like these plays are doing, to put forth our issues and our ideas and then what is actually right.
Well, and you know, Mo, what you know, you get dispirited sometimes when you watch the mainstream media, and then meanwhile you go, you know, 70-whatever% of us were for overturning Don't Ask, Don't Tell. 70% of us are against this Paul Ryan budget. You know, gay marriage has, you know, marriage equality is it majority supports. You go, you know, we're not losing on the issues. Why are we dispirited?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, well, because we get a lot in the media. They want stories. They want sort of splashy crap. And so that's what they talk about. That's what
right.
they talk about. They don't really talk about because it's boring that people want jobs.
Yeah, yeah. Let's look at another picture of Anthony's wiener because that's
yes.
more important, too.
Oh,
yes.
That whole story. I just want to really put a gun right in my right eye and shoot myself because I'm stuck with it.
But we wish that you wouldn't.
No.
Now,
I might do that, but it would be like a water gun. So.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, is that a guy thing? I've never sent a photograph of any of my parts to anybody. I don't understand.
No, me neither.
Yeah.
I don't even have a part to send.
It's really?
Not a guy
parts,
thing at all, for the record.
Not unclothed. And my hands.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. What is your take on that whole thing, the Anthony Weiner? Because, you know, the Republicans, they're against the difference. They never, you know, they stand behind these guys no matter what, you know. And
well, yeah, and there's something to that. Well, I don't know what it is, but, you know, on each side, they're politicians. What do you want? Mm-hmm. They're egomaniacal for the most part, a lot of them. You know, crazy, sort of narcissistic idiots.
We can also
yeah.
see, you know, there
so
is.
What
a
do we expect?
Yeah, there is a distinct difference between, I think, how it's being handled because the drum for Anthony Weiner to resign, whereas Mark Foley, for example, was protected in his position for.
Yeah, and Ensign and Vitter, yeah.
And he was on the committee for missing and exploited children.
Yes. Exactly.
To add a little extra dollop of comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
This guy, I mean, this guy's an idiot, but he didn't kill anybody, you know. He's an idiot.
It's a personal issue. It's gossip.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, Senator Vitter ordering hookers on the Senate floor. I mean, yeah, I don't know.
At least he kept it, you know, sort of on the airwaves and, you know, in the ether rather than an actual, you know.
Yeah. Mo, tell us about what's the actual play you're in? What's the theme of it?
I'm in a couple of them.
Okay.
They're readings of the plays. They're not actually put up, you know, on stage. And they're hilarious. And you got to come, Steph.
Well, it's an amazing bunch of not just actors, but playwrights that are contributing to this.
Absolutely. And so I'm going to be in one called On Facebook, which is by Doug Wright. And it's adapted from an actual Facebook thread about people arguing about gay marriage on Facebook.
Nice.
Oh, man.
So really hilarious. And,
yeah.
you know, people trying to be like, hey, listen, live and let live, but marriage is for, you know, straight white people only.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have to hold up signs that say OMG or LOL at any given point?
Oh, yeah, there's LOLs. There's smiley
emoticons.
Face.
Emoticons, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what I thought?
Really horrifying, and then smiley face.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know what I thought was actually huge this week is Julian Bond of the NAACP wrote a great piece for marriage equality because it's, you know, the anniversary of the Loving case, which allowed interracial marriage, and he said it's exactly the same, and you got to stand up for equal rights
exactly.
No matter who you are.
Because sometime, at some point, there's going to be something you are that is not going to be allowed to have civil rights, and you're going to be like, oh, maybe I should have realized that might happen.
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah.
Yes, I didn't. I was a single elderly child, a shut-in loser, so I didn't stand up, and then there was no one left to stand up for me when whatever came.
Maybe also go out on a limb and go, maybe it won't ever affect you personally at some point in your life. Maybe you just do it because it's the right thing to do
what?
For other people.
In Hollywood? Do something that has nothing to do with me? What?
Sorry.
What the hell? Who the hell is that?
That's Hal Sparks. He's talking nonsense again. All right.
Worst publicist ever.
MoGaffney.com is the website. Standing on Ceremony, the Gay Marriage Plays. She's performing in them next Monday, June 20th. We have a link at StephanieMiller.com to how to get tickets to that. Oh, it's a pleasure as always. You are a delight.
So are you. Stephanie wants to say hi to my friend Adam.
Hi, Adam.
He listens to you all the time.
All right. What is this, a little community calendar?
There's other people in this show, Nate Corby, John Getz, Judy Greer, Joshua Molina, Kathy and Jimmy, Justina Mikado.
Awesome.
So I want you all to come.
Awesome. We will. Thank you, Mo.
Thanks, Stephanie.
All right.
Good to talk to you.
You too, honey. There she goes.
Yay. I've decided to recuse myself from all legal cases because I have watched Perry Mason on a case.
Okay. Yes, sure. Thank you, Jim. I think that's, wise. Mm-hmm. Thanks for that.
I think you should just not be able to be a juror on any union-related cases that have to do with SAG-AFTRA.
Sure.
Because you've watched Perry Mason.
Yes.
He was both playing a lawyer
and I have decided,
a union,
as a carbon-based life form, to recuse myself from any cases involving any other carbon-based
carbonite.
Yes. Thank you. What? 45 minutes after the hour, Ted Boutros Jr. Of the Prop 8 case next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
You just blew my mind.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
She's crafting. She gets a wild. She's crafting. She's always down. She's crafting. She's got it fresh. She's crafting.
Craft day. 49 minutes after the hour. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Jim, who said of the Prop 8 victory yesterday, other courts will look to this decision for many years to come. We're also pleased to see the Chief Judge Ware address the issue of equal protection in which all members of society have a stake.
Reins Priebus!
That was a bad guess. Ted Boutros, Jim, why am I quoting him when he's right here? Good morning, Ted Boutros, Jr.
How are you? It's good to be here.
Congratulations on your big victory yesterday.
Thank you so much. We were so pleased that Chief Judge Ware not only denied this frivolous motion, but really made a strong statement that I think will be a precedent that makes very clear that gay judges, lesbian judges are entitled to the same kind of presumptions of fairness and impartiality. Yes, it's
Ted,
true.
Friends don't let friends judge gay. Come on.
It was really a great decision. So we're feeling very good. Yesterday was just a great day for equality and marriage equality in this country.
Well, I know. You know, it's funny. None of us are lawyers, but it's one of those things where you go, what? Yeah. Are you kidding me? Like, I mean, what Judge Ware said is what we were all thinking. This would result in an unworkable standard for disqualification, period, right?
Exactly. And one of the arguments we made was this would be just bad for the federal judiciary in general. Judges would have to be recusing themselves, disclosing their personal views, and we have a system where we expect judges to apply the law and the facts and put their personal circumstances to the side. That's really fundamental. So this is a great ruling that I think will serve the country
right.
Very well.
The judge said it's as warrantless as the presumption that a female judge is incapable of being impartial in a case in which women seek legal relief, and on down the line, right? I mean, it's just, in some ways, I can't even believe we had to go to court over this. Really? I mean, is that all you got?
Exactly. When it came in, we thought, you've got to be kidding, sort of the same reaction you had. And they even suggested things like a judge in the District of Columbia couldn't have sat on the case about Second Amendment rights if he wanted to have a gun. I mean, it was just absurd.
Yep. You know, he said it came dangerously close to forcing minority judges to excuse themselves from civil rights cases, for instance.
Well, that's what I found striking about this. In the civil rights battles in this country for the last 50 years, this issue has come up in every area: race, ethnicity, gender, religion, where the people trying to stop equality have tried to knock the judge out of the case if the judge was a member of the minority group, and the courts have repeatedly refused to do that. And this case now takes its place with those decisions in saying, no, we trust judges to be impartial and biased no matter who they are.
ProtectMarriage.com, they said they will appeal, which leads me to my next question. Are they kidding me? Seriously? Really?
I was hoping they'd come to their senses and say, this is enough. Even supporters of theirs criticized this maneuver, said it would be embarrassing. We found it offensive. I found it offensive, and I said that in court. And if they really believe they're right on the merits, they should focus on their effort to defend Proposition 8 instead of attacking the judge and judges who decided the case.
Well, I mean, you know, I was saying I think it was fairly huge that Julian Bond from the NAACP, you know, on the anniversary of the Loving case, you know, stated his support of marriage equality. I mean, since, as you know, out here, that was one of the things they tried to do is divide black people and gay people, for instance, in this campaign they ran.
I totally agree. Having Mr. Bond weigh in, and when we it was very important. The NAACP filed amicus briefs in support of our position in the courts. The marriage equality for gay men and lesbians is a civil rights issue, and it's about equality, and it's the next step to break down really the last barriers, the last discriminatory laws in this country against a particular group. So it was a beautifully written piece, and I think made a powerful statement about these issues.
In retrospect, does it not surprise you that Arnold Schwarzenegger perhaps did not want to fight the fight for straight family values?
I'm not going to go down that road. The Governor Brown and the Attorney General Kamala Harris are supporting our positions now,
yeah.
And it's really, really great. So the government officials in California now agree that this decision is right and that it should stand. The only thing really standing in the way right now are these proponents of Proposition 8, and who really they're just meddling in the affairs of other people when it really, the allowing other people to get married has no effect on them. So
Ted, what's next? I mean, I know it's hard to, you know, to say because there's, you know, just this ridiculous appeal after appeal, but what happens legally?
The next step is we're back finishing off the appeal in the Ninth Circuit, and there's an issue about what's called standing in the courts that the California Supreme Court has been asked to weigh in on by the Ninth Circuit. So we have some procedural wrangling, but I think by September we will be wrapping that up, and we're very hopeful the Ninth Circuit will affirm Chief Judge Walker's ruling on this. And yesterday, as you may have noticed, the bankruptcy judges here in California found that the federal bankruptcy rules required equal treatment of married gay couples in California. 20 bankruptcy judges signed this order. So we've got all this momentum going for marriage equality for gay men and lesbians, and we're hoping that momentum's just going to roll us right through the year.
Yeah.
And
it feels like it. Ted, what effect will, if marriage equality is achieved in New York this week or next, what effect will that have in terms of critical mass?
I think it will be a tremendous development, not only for people in New York, obviously, and people who want to get married. But again, I think you mentioned earlier, the polls now show a majority of people in this country support same-sex marriage. To have New York, such a great state, big state, recognize these rights would be huge. It would add momentum both publicly, and I think it helps us in the court battles and in Congress and in legislature. So we're very hopeful that's going to happen.
Do you think at some point they'll just, the lone people against marriage equality will just be like, feel like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid? They just All right, you know what? We're just going home. We are just...
At some point, they're going to be riding solo into the sunset. And yeah. We're looking forward to that. And I think it's happening. Their arguments keep getting narrower and narrower and more ludicrous with each passing day.
Well, that's what we were saying, is this latest ridiculous thing was really almost like that high school fight you would lose, and then the other person would just go, well, you're gay. You're just gay.
It's the most desperate maneuver I've ever seen in a game.
Yes, and that's saying something. Ted Boutros Jr., Ted Olson's law partner, we should point out, in Perry versus Schwarzenegger. Congratulations, Ted, and thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks so much.
All right, there
Bye.
He goes. He is. All right, speaking of Schwarzenegger, did you see the house baby mama housekeeper lady has spoken out? She said, last summer I brought Joseph, that's the kid, over to the house. After that, people started whispering how much he looked like. Oh, dear. Oh.
Baby mama, baby mama, riding backwards on a pig, baby mama.
Jim Louise. Maria would ask if I needed to talk to her, and I kept saying, no. Finally, she just asked point blank. Maria asked me directly if Joseph was Arnold's son, and I just broke down. I dropped on my knees. I was crying. I said yes, and I was sorry. She cried with me and told me to get off my knees.
Why would you think
You're thinking
my
of
daddy?
My husband. Get off your knees. All right.
So you got in this trouble in the first place.
Exactly. Get up.
Waka, waka.
So
I want to tell you.
She alleges she never told Schwarzenegger. She said he's a good man. I know he's suffering, too. He loves Maria. I hope with time they work the things out. Mm. You might have thought of that before you know. And then Maria's bad wearing her undies. Maybe. Just saying.
Oh,
okay.
That's creepy.
Yeah, it was. She wore some Maria's clothes. Okay. All right.
Why would you think he was my daddy? That's crazy.
Because he's pushing that giant grinder wheel for... 22 years.
All right. SexyLiberal.com is the website, ladies and gentlemen. Coming to Minneapolis, Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, and I.
Mm-hmm.
This coming Saturday. Get you a few remaining tickets. Chicago the weekend after that, and much more. SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook. HalSparks.com is the Hal Sparks website.
It's true.
Yes.
I'll be in San Francisco in 2 weeks at Cobb Comedy House. You Green 960 friends, you.
Yeah, get it. 58 minutes after the hour. That's it for us today. We'll see you tomorrow with David Bender and Carlos Alzraki on The Stephanie Miller Show.